Thanks very much, Anne. Shall we just pray? Let's bow our heads and pray. Oh, Lord God, we just thank you for your holy word. We pray that you may just teach us from it today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I guess that many of you will know that June and I obtained a motorhome. We don't normally bring it to church. I think it might fill up the car park a bit. But it actually came without a spare wheel. And when we were planning quite a long holiday a few weeks ago, I sort of thought, well, it's got that, I don't even know the name of it, the glue that you put in if you have a flat tire, it gets pumped in. Well, that should be all right. But as the time approached, I began to lose confidence and think, oh dear, definitely ought to have a spare wheel. And so we actually ordered one a couple of days before, and this box arrived on the day we left. Great rejoicing until I opened the box and found it was the wrong wheel. So we set off without a spare. Now, some people would say that was foolhardy. I might agree. And some people would say, well, that was faith. And of course, we certainly did pray that we'd be okay. As it happened, when we were somewhere in southern Italy, this car came flying around a corner and smashed both our wing mirrors on the... That's the important side, isn't it? You with all these little motorbikes and what have you flying past you and coming at you, you need that mirror, and smashed both those. So we managed to find somewhere to get that repaired. And when we were there, it was a little country garage, as it were. And I said, oh, you don't happen to have a spare wheel, do you? And I think the man must have gone down the yard to where his scrap vehicles were, and he produced this wheel and tire. Now, it wasn't pristine, but it gave me great confidence that there was a contingency plan in, and so there we are. Anyway, perhaps a good principle would be, I was thinking that we should pray for wisdom, we should do what we sensibly can, and then pray for God's keeping and have faith. And today there's a new sermon series over the next few weeks concerning people of faith. And I don't think there should be any prizes for anyone knowing which chapter of the Bible is that chapter that talks all about people of faith. It's we've had some of it read out. It's Hebrews chapter 11. And so this By Faith series starts today concerning Abel, and it'll continue on in subsequent weeks talking about Noah's faith, the faith of Joseph, Moses, and Rahab. So-called heroes of faith devoted themselves to God, and they sort of factored God in all that they did. Their lives kind of were pervaded by faith. Now, I was thinking of a word, and pervaded actually means goes through. Now, imagine if Francis came in early this morning. Excuse me, Francis, you don't know I'm going to talk about you. And you and your team of floral ladies, floral experts, supposing they didn't just have a few flowers up, but the whole church was something really sweet-smelling, something like a Daphne or... Yeah, sweet pea. So if the place was absolutely full of sweet peas and we walked in, we'd have this great smell, wouldn't it? Be pervading, going right through the whole building. And that's what I would suggest that our Christian lives, it should be full of that kind of sweet aroma, our faith affecting us. So that's my number one, pervading faith like those heroes did and we should have. Well, Hebrews was written, a letter to the Jewish Christians, those who trusted in Jesus. And of course, all Christians at that time were persecuted by the Roman authorities. But the Jews had a especially bad time because they were despised by their fellow Jews, who felt that they deserted their heritage. They were kind of traitors to their nation, to their culture, to their family, probably sort of accusing them, making them ashamed almost of their faith, and maybe wanting to turn back to the Jewish heritage. And the author, and no one is really certain who wrote the letter to the Hebrews, he was trying to show that Moses' covenant, it wasn't the full plan of salvation. It was just like an interim. There was, and then the new covenant was going to supplement it. And he was going to use the heroes of faith to show this was the case. So let's have the next slide up. And here we have in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, this is from the New Living Translation. The old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come. God's way of dealing with that triple problem that we all have of sin, which leads to death, and the devil behind it all, that the sacrifice of Jesus was going to be the ultimate solution. And we have the next slide, shows verse 20 of chapter 10. We're getting close to chapter 11. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way. This new covenant, or the new deal, brought the possibility of friendship with God, not just to those few people like Abraham and Moses who had such a wonderful relationship with him, but all who trusted in Jesus. And this sort of gospel, the good news, it's like a complete deal, a complete covenant. There aren't going to be any more modifications. This good news, to believe and have faith in Jesus' power to save us from that power of sin, death, and the devil. And so we have the next slide up. Towards the end of chapter 10, the writer encourages these Jewish Christians to endure and not shrink back. So we have pervading faith, we have enduring faith. And now let's move on to chapter 11. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And the Good News Bible, I think it renders very well. To have faith is to be sure of the things we hope for, to be certain of the things we cannot see. And I've come up with the idea of it being far-reaching faith. And let's have the next slide up. Yeah, far-reaching. It's beyond what might be normally expected. So it goes against popular wisdom, isn't it? Understanding just with those five senses. Seeing is believing, we say. And do you remember how Thomas reacted when Jesus appeared to the disciples after his resurrection, and Thomas wasn't there, and he said, I cannot believe unless I see him and I put my hands into the wounds, I will not believe. I mean, that is a sort of human nature, isn't it? I won't believe what's beyond what I can see. And yet, this is what the Hebrews writer is saying. Faith is beyond that, what we can just see. Something out there, something beyond. And also beyond just our happiness and sort of eat, drink, and be merry. It's beyond that. It's something greater. And then the writer goes on to say how men and women in the Old Testament of faith, and they endured in faith. So let's have the next slide. Got this faith is pervading all we do. It endures and is far-reaching beyond what's normal. And on to now Abel in verse 4. By faith, Abel offered a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, God commending him by accepting his gifts. Now, even the commentaries I looked at said people really aren't sure why Abel's was so much better. I know there's talk about it being a blood sacrifice and the fat portions and stuff. Because it says Cain brought an offering, some of his crops, maybe that doesn't sound the best necessarily. And then Abel brought the best off of the firstborn with fat portions. Let's not judge God and whether he was unfair on Cain. And let's trust God that he knew what he was doing. There's a verse in Psalm 44 that says, God knows the secrets of the heart. And there's a verse in Jeremiah chapter 17 that says, I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to his deeds. There's perhaps a warning to us that God does see all our motives. We must trust God that he sees everyone's heart and that he knew that Abel had a genuine devotion and yet there was something lacking in Cain. Although we do in that reading from Genesis, it says that God encouraged Cain to do well and then he would be accepted. God's message to us can be an encouragement and also a warning against temptation to sin. And of course, we see that Cain didn't heed that warning and he did sin and he did kill Abel. So, big question. How much of faith is believing, trusting, and how much faith is doing, acting? Sometimes we're like that. Some people are kind of got to do stuff. Well, the next slide shows that St. Paul took that verse from Habakkuk, the righteous shall live by faith. In fact, Martin Luther, that was his sort of well-known verse. And St. Paul was showing that salvation was through faith. So our salvation, that frees us from the power of sin, death, and the devil. It comes from believing and not by the good deeds. And it's faith that makes us righteous, faith that made Abraham righteous. And in fact, Paul brings it out in chapter 4 of the letter to the Romans. Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. See, God then, the angels came and they promised Abraham that he'd have a son. Bearing in mind that he was 99 years old and his wife was 90 at the time, Sarah, and Abraham believed that he would have a son and Sarah would be the mother. And so God counted that as righteous because he believed. So Abel's offering was pleasing to God. What he did showed the good intentions in his heart. Action showed that faith pervaded his life. Probably the best example of faith is Abraham. And I don't believe it's really coming out in this series we're doing, but one third of chapter 11 is all about Abraham. So we can't get away from him and as the example of faith. Abraham's faith and his trust was sort of intertwined with his actions. So there really wasn't faith or actions. They were all mixed up with Abraham's wonderful example. Because it says in verse 11 of Hebrews chapter, verse 17 of chapter 11, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. Remember the story? He gets told he's got to go and sacrifice Isaac on Mount Moriah. And it's only at the very last minute, when he's about to plunge the knife in, that he sees the ram caught in the thicket and he sacrificed the ram instead. So Abraham, he'd been given this wonderful gift of a son in his old age and he didn't withhold it from God. He was prepared to kill this most precious gift. And in verse 19 of Hebrews 11, it says that Abraham believed that even if he had killed Isaac, God would have raised him up, would have resurrected him. So this the wonderful link of faith and obedience. And in fact, Bible students might know that James chapter 2 also describes this. So what about us, our faith? How would we fare if we were ever tested like Abraham? Are there things that we hold on to selfishly? There's The Hobbit and the Lord of the Rings might know that rather strange creature, Gollum. And there's one part in the film where he wants the ring and he says, mine. Hear that? And I know we all do it a bit, but we don't want to do it too much. We don't want to hold position tightly. We want to hold them lightly. I think it's Job, when everything got taken away, he said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What a lovely attitude, isn't it? So, a couple of sayings. Put your money where your mouth is. What does that mean? That means do what you say. Act the way you say. And then the other one, actions speak louder than words. Now, that's usually brought in when somebody isn't doing what they say. But when there's consistency between what people say and what they do, it makes that saying irrelevant. I mean, if you believe it, then act as if you do. Actions should be consistent and confirm our words. Do our lives reflect our belief? And God does know all. He knows whether we're truly wishing to try to follow him. Occasionally, and sadly it is only occasionally, I think, that some of us may sense that God's going to do something special. In the late 90s, well, it seems an awfully long time ago, doesn't it? My older daughter had applied for university, and anyway, she got a rejection letter, came through. I can remember vividly, she was actually, she was putting letters on her sail. We had a very big living room, and this sail, and it was GBR, because she did a lot of sailing, and she was putting letters on her new sail. And I came in from work, and she said, I didn't get in. Anyway, something just prompted me to really pray about this. It seemed a bit strange, but anyway, I prayed about it and sort of, and anyway, she 3 days later, she got another letter saying, well, actually, we have got a place for you. So just thank God, you know. So sometimes I think if this ever does happen and we pray in faith, if it does happen, it really honours God and strengthens our faith. A couple of years after that, my younger daughter was in Edinburgh and she tried to get on a drama course. There was a slight problem in that 1,000 people had applied for 22 places. So, you know, we didn't take it for granted she'd get on it. Anyway, she rang me up and said, sorry, Dad, I didn't get on it. And I don't know what made it come out of my mouth, but over the phone I said, Lainey, and of course many of you will have met Lainey a few weeks ago, she came with the little children here. I said, Lainey, I don't accept that. I'm going to pray you get in. And then I thought, what have I just said? Anyway, I prayed very hard. And 3 weeks later, she did get a place. So, I mean, I really felt that honoured God. And I think probably in her life it's honoured and it's probably helped her to try and maintain faith. And then sadly, it doesn't happen very often. Quite often I get it completely wrong. But it's wonderful when that really does strengthen us. Now, and also, you know, we might sort of occasionally have these opportunities when we sense that God wants to pray for something. And just may it happen more and more to us all. May it happen. Now, let me go back a lot further. Back to 1859. And There was a French performer called Jean or Charles Blondin, and he was in America, and he got this idea that perhaps he could tightrope across the Niagara River. Now, if you just go downriver from where this photograph was taken, there is the Niagara Falls, which you probably all know, they are quite impressive. And so if he fell off, he'd probably shoot down the river and down the falls. Well, anyway, he wowed the crowd by tightroping across like this. And I believe there's a story, I couldn't actually get the details on the internet, but I believe that he did all sorts of things. I mean, he looks mad and possibly was. But on one occasion, I believe he got a wheelbarrow and he said, do you think I can go across with a wheelbarrow? And of course, the people who've seen him go across like this said, yeah, I suppose so, yes. We've got faith you could do that. Do you think I could take someone across in the wheelbarrow? Yeah, I think so. Okay, well, who would like to hop in? Now, I heard that he might have taken his mother across, but I'm sure someone like Dorothy here would be very brave, very brave. but I don't know whether that's true. I don't remember that part of my sermon, please. But let's have the next slide. I do know that, now that you have to look quite carefully here, and you see what's happening. He actually persuaded his manager, Harry Colcord, to jump on his back and go across the river. And at one point he said, Harry, and I think this is probably as he was going across, yeah, you are no longer Harry Colcord. You are Blondin. You are me. Until we get out of this place, be part of me, mind, body, and soul. If I sway, sway with me. Don't try and balance yourself, otherwise we'll both die. And it kind of demonstrates the manager's faith in Blondin, his dependency, his commitment, and his obedience. For us, faith in Jesus may be a bit like that. We're united with him. One of the verses for the year, a year or two ago, was, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old is gone, the new has come. And Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. I live by faith in the Son of God. So is that us? What do we believe? What do we pursue? Is our desire to experience God in everything that comes our way? So let's have the last slide up, please. Is our faith or our trust in God, is it pervading everything we do? I wish it was. Is it enduring? Well, I suppose some of us can say we've been in the faith for over 50 years. That's good. Is it far-reaching? Is it beyond what's normal? You know, can we pray for something that we think we've got to pray for, even though it seems unlikely? And is it an obeying faith? Because obedience is, quite often, it's our response to God. So let's have faith like those Old Testament heroes. And yet we can have it with a greater understanding, because we know that Jesus' sacrifice, it brought us that freedom from sin, death, and the devil, and brought us a relationship with God and with his people, all through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Amen.